Of the thousands of words in the English language, the word abide is probably not a word that most of you used last week. Most of you last week probably never even said the word abide. Now, most of us probably said words like this: let's go, let's get going, we've got to be moving now. And we all use vernacular that keeps us going, but most of us probably didn't use the word abide. By the way, Webster defines the word abide as remaining, settling down. And our world today has placed so much emphasis on being upwardly mobile that the very thought of remaining with something or remaining with someone has negative connotations in the world today. And so Americans today are on the move. We move from relationship to relationship, state to state, company to company, spouse to spouse, and church to church. We're just constantly on the move. And while some of these moves may or may not be advantageous, the tragedy is today that fewer and fewer people are finding God and then remaining in a close-knit relationship with Him until He comes for them or takes them home. The fact is today that television has even trained us to the point that about 6 minutes from right now, most of you are going to be ready for a commercial. Most of you are going to want to get up, go to the fridge, get some milk and some cookies, and I'm still going to be in here preaching. So don't do that, all right? See, we aren't even conditioned to remain for something for 30 or 40 minutes at length. We're just conditioned to constantly be on the go, constantly moving. And yet the words in our text were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, and no less than 8 times He tells His disciples, abide in Me. Remain with Me. Settle down into a relationship with Me. Let it be something that's normal and natural, that we would commune together and walk together day by day and moment by moment. Jesus was somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane as He spoke these words to His disciples. Possibly He was surrounded by vineyards as He spoke these words to His disciples. And Jesus is not inviting His disciples in John 15 to try Him out or to come see the difference or just to see what it might be like. He is inviting them to remain with Him. What does it mean to abide personally with Jesus Christ? I mean, is that just some figurative concept or is it something that we really can enjoy? Now, as we look today at abiding in His presence, there are a few things I want to share to introduce this series. And the first thing today that I want to share with you is the supremacy of His presence. The supremacy of His presence. Notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now let's just take a quick note at the words, I am. You see, Jesus Christ is not presenting Himself here as just another way or as just another religion. The words, I am, are very powerful words in the Bible. Jesus, earlier in the book of John, said, for example, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now there are many lights, but Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, for example, I am the door. Now, there are many doors, but Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. And then John 14:6, of course, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by Me. And so we see the supremacy of His presence. He says, I am the true vine. The word true comes from the Greek word alethenos, which means genuinely true. It is not false. It is genuine. Jesus Christ is not a false vine or just another vine. Jesus Christ is the true, genuine vine. Now, to be sure, there are very many in this world self-proclaimed saviors out there. There are a lot of self-proclaimed saviors, and there are a lot of man-made religions, and so we need to have discernment today to understand which one is true, which one is genuine, which one is real, because if I'm going to attach myself to something, if I, as a branch, am going to get sustenance and life from something, I want to make sure it's the right source. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, some of His disciples were of Jewish descendancy, and so many of them, as followers of Christ now, had been taught in their earlier life that it was through the nation of Israel, it was through the Mosaic law and so forth, that they would find God. But Jesus is now saying, no, I am the true vine. Israel is no longer the vine. I am the true vine. There is no longer salvation only for the Jew, but it is now available for all who would believe in me. The prophecy of Hosea came true. Hosea chapter 10, the Bible says, Israel is an empty vine. And so for those who would try to find salvation in natural or in cultural identity, they are finding today an empty vine. Now, some say today, it doesn't matter which vine you abide in. It doesn't matter which vine you're a part of, as long as you're really faithful to that vine. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you really believe it. And so, we've got people today believing in all kinds of stuff, folks. We've got Shirley MacLaine, for example, who abides in astrology. She abides in the study of the stars and in the study of crystals. And she probably abides in that study more than the average Baptist abided in the Bible this past week. I mean, they're very religious about it. Hakeem Olajuwon, the basketball player for the Houston Rockets, he abides in his prayers to Allah and in his study of the Muslim faith. And even during the half times of the basketball games, he bows toward Mecca. He is abiding in a vine. Shirley MacLaine is abiding in a vine. Some people spend hours counting beads, abiding in Mary. And they're abiding with Mary hour after hour after hour. And they're very sincere. And they're abiding sincerely with Mary. And some people would tell us today, it doesn't matter who you abide with or what you believe in, as long as you're sincere about it. But Jesus steps forward on history's pages and says, I am the true vine. We see the supremacy of His presence. You see, in this parable, the branches represent the lives of believers, people who can share life from the vine. And so it is important today that you and I dwell in the true vine and that we do not get caught up into something that would lead us other than to Jesus Christ. I thank God today that the vine from which I draw my strength, the vine from which I draw sustenance, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, who lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth and then died on the cross for my sin and rose up again for my justification. I want you to understand who it is that is saying, abide in me. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice with me the supremacy of His presence. To abide with Jesus Christ is to abide with God Himself. And there is no other religion that can offer you that today other than Jesus Christ and Christianity. The supremacy of His presence. If we're going to abide with Him, we better know who we're going to be companying with. But notice, secondly today, the invitation to His presence. The invitation to His presence. Jesus doesn't just tell us who He is. He's inviting us to have part with Him. In verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. Now, you'll notice that's just one complete sentence right there. Abide in me and I in you. Here He is inviting us to His presence. Now, this is basic, but I want you to catch it before we look further into what it means to abide. Because you and I need to understand something today. Before you can abide with someone or in something, you must first enter into a relationship with them. Before you can abide in your home, you must first enter into that home. And the way to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ is by faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. Now catch this with me. You cannot abide with someone that you have not first entered into a relationship with them. So, Jesus Christ says, the way to enter into a relationship with Him is by faith.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." If you want to abide with Jesus, you must begin that relationship by putting faith in Jesus Christ, that though you and I are sinners, He was perfect, and He died and rose again for our sin. When you put your faith in Him completely, the Bible says you are saved, and that from that moment on, you can abide with Him in a relationship. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that means today that anyone who hears the Word of God, who puts faith in the Word of God, and subsequently in Jesus Christ, could be saved even today, because faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the invitation to His presence really begins with an invitation to be saved and to come into a relationship with Him. And once you enter into that relationship by faith and you are saved, as the disciples had already done, then Jesus invites you to abide with Him. He invites you to come alongside of Him and to draw sustenance from Him and to cling on to Him and to stick fast to Him like the branches do to a vine. Jesus now comes to His children and says, "Now you're saved. You've put faith in Me. But don't just cling to Me for a little while and then fall to the ground." He says, "Abide in Me. Abide in Me and I in you." Now notice verse 4. "Abide in Me and I in you." How do we abide in Jesus Christ? Well, we'll see many things these next few weeks. But very quickly, let me say, one way to abide in Jesus Christ is to abide regularly in the Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You and I need to realize that when we spend time in the Word of God, we are spending time with God. We are abiding with God. This is the living Word today. We also can abide in the Lord and with the Lord through prayer. James said, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." And we can draw nigh to God in our prayers to Him and in our prayer life with Him. May I submit to you another way that we can abide with the Lord is through trials. The Bible is very clear in 1 Peter chapter 5 and chapter 1 and verse number 5 that the trials of our faith can become very precious if they draw us closer in our relationship with God. And sometimes it's during the trials of our lives that we learn things that we maybe would have never learned without those trials. And so we see that we can abide in the Lord even in times of trials. And when people who have not the Lord turn to drugs or alcohol or turn to sin and vice, you and I can turn to Him in a more intimate, close walk and know that He is our comforter and He understands the burden of those trials. I love the story of the man that was walking alongside the road in the Old West, and he had a bag of grain on his shoulder, and he was carrying that bag of grain along, and another man came up to him. He had a buckboard and a horse, and he was riding along there, and he said to the fellow on the ground, he said, "Hey, jump up here on the buckboard with me. It's too hot today to be walking like that." He said, "Come on up here." The fellow said, "Well, thank you." He got up onto the seat there with the driver of that little rig, and he was sitting there, had his grain on his shoulder. After a while, the driver of the rig said, "Hey, why don't you put that grain down and relax?" And the passenger said, "Oh no, it's enough for me to ask you to give me a ride without asking you to carry my load." And that's what a lot of Christians do. They say, "Lord, I know You can save me, forgive my sins, and give me a ride to heaven someday, but I wouldn't ask You to carry my load." And that's how silly it really is. Because He says, "I want to abide with you. I want to carry your load. I want to be in your life. I want to be with you personally from day to day to day." And so we see here that there is an invitation from Jesus Christ. He says, "Abide in Me." And then look what He says next here. He says in verse 4, "And I in you." He says, "I want you to abide in Me and I want to abide in you." Now, someone might ask the question, now, how can Jesus Christ abide in me? And that's a good question. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, "Christ liveth in me." Christ liveth in me. Now, how can Christ live in us? Without going into many, many scriptures, let us very quickly review the fact that when someone receives Christ as their Savior, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence in their life. The Bible says by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That means that when I receive Christ as Savior, His Spirit indwells my life. I'm glad today that all three persons of the Trinity work together to save me and to save you. God the Father loved the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts and convicts us and then indwells us at the moment of salvation. Now, John described it later on in 1 John 2:27 this way. He says, "The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you." God's Word says that the anointing that we receive of the Lord abides in us. And that anointing is the Holy Spirit of God. So, when Jesus says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you," He means by that, that His Spirit will abide with us every moment of every day until the day that we're joined with the Lord again. That's why Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I'm glad for that promise today, because one day Jesus Christ invited me to Himself and I put my faith in Him as a young child and received Christ as Savior. Little did I know on that day that His Spirit would come into my life and keep me with the Lord until the day that Jesus Christ comes for me once again. And so as we look today at this concept of God's presence, we see, first of all, the supremacy of His presence. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the true vine. Secondly, we see the invitation to His presence. He says, "I want to be with you, and I want to be in you, and I want you to be with me. I don't want this salvation thing just to be fire insurance out of hell. I want to walk with you day by day in a personal relationship where I talk with you, and you talk with me on a daily basis." So we see the supremacy of His presence, the invitation into His presence, and then thirdly, notice with me the consolation of His presence. The consolation of His presence. Now, there are many things that could be said about walking with the Lord, but I want to share one of my favorites with you from verse 9. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." You know, the greatest consolation of abiding in the Lord is abiding in His love. We are living in a world that is starving for love, and yet Jesus says one of the reasons He wants to abide in your life and for you to abide with Him is because He wants you to abide in His love. And He says something very interesting in verse 9. He says, "I'm going to love you as the Father has loved me." I'm going to love you with the love of the Heavenly Father. And I want to just mention a few things about the love of the Father. The kind of love that Jesus offers is so different from the love of this world. The love that Jesus offers, first of all, is an eternal love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us." God loved you before you were ever born, friend. God loved you before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ loves you with an eternal love. Not only did He love you before you were ever born, but He will love you for all of eternity. God loves you. His love is an eternal love. Not only is it an eternal love, His love is a perfect love. Now, we don't know a lot about perfect love today. We don't know a lot about love that is totally accepting. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, "Perfect love casteth out fear." Perfect love casteth out fear. Now, the kind of love that we're used to always has a certain amount of fear attached to it. I'll love you if you get straight A's. I'll love you if you make a touchdown. I'll love you if you cook my dinner. I'll love you if you bring a paycheck home. There's always a little bit of fear in human love. There's always the fear of whether or not we're accepted, whether or not we're going to make the grade. But the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. It's the kind that gives you complete security in the presence of the person offering it. And in this case, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to fear whether or not He loves me or accepts me, because His love is perfect, and perfect love casteth out fear. Thank God for that kind of love today. It is not found in the world's relationships, but it is found in abiding with Jesus Christ personally. One lady had been recently just really wanting her husband's love, wanting her husband's attention and wanting their marriage to make it. And she had received an outfit for a present. She had received a new skirt and a sweater, and she put it on and looked in the mirror, and she thought it looked pretty good. And her six-year-old boy came in and looked at her and said, "Boy, Mom, that's a pretty sweater. You look like the Wheel of Fortune." The mom thought about that and said, "Honey, I think you mean that I look like Vanna White." The little boy said, "No, Mom, you look like the wheel." You know, a lot of times that's about the best the world can give us when it comes to love. But you know, in the sight of God, each of us are loved with a perfect love. And the reason is because Jesus Christ paid for our sins with His blood on Calvary's tree. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior, we have a covering. And when God looks at us, He doesn't see your sin and your imperfection. But when He sees the life of His children, He sees no sin. He is totally accepting His beloved in Jesus Christ. Perfect love casteth out fear. Thank God today it is an eternal love. It is a perfect love. And then also the love of God is an unchanging love. It is a love that will go on forever, and nothing will separate us from the love of God. Paul said in the book of Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God." You say, "Oh, but you know, I've done some things since I was saved, and I've had some problems, and I've made some mistakes." But God still loves you today. His love is unchanging. Friend, can you get this picture in your mind today? Jesus Christ is holding out a nail-pierced hand to you. And Jesus Christ is holding that hand out, and He's saying to those who have never put faith in Him, "Come to Me. Let Me be your Savior. I am the true vine." There are many other vines and many other religions, and they're calling out to young people and calling out to yuppies and calling out to all different kinds of people. But Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Would you come to Jesus today? Jesus comes to you and He says, "I died for you, and you've accepted Me, and I've accepted you. Now abide in Me. Walk with Me. Cling to Me. Settle down with Me. Just stay for a while with Me."